May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn 143, and I'll read the hymns this evening. Hymn 143. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears for ever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress, helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eye strings break in death, when I soar through tracts unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
May the Lord help us to read the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have laboured in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highway shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction, shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou should have, after thou hast lost the other, shall say again in thine ears, the place is too strait for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, who hath begotten me thee? Seeing I have lost my children and am desolate, a captive and removing to and fro, and who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children, and I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Saviour and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, the Mighty One of Jacob, oh, hast thou not laid help upon thy dear Son? All the help that thy people need is laid upon him. I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen from among the people. I've found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. And we have read, Lord, of thy Father's purpose. Lord, that thou shouldest be given to thy people as that covenant, as that light to the people. And Lord, that restorer of thy people, and that safe gatherer of thy people unto thy Father. Oh, we pray, have mercy on us. Gather us even now, Lord. Blessed Spirit, cause us to come to the Father in the name of his Son. Oh, thou didst teach us in thy word, Lord, to pray. Lord, there may be those here this evening, and they cannot say, my Father. But Lord, they would be numbered with thy people. They would have their God as theirs. Thou didst say, thus shalt thou pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. O Lord, we pray, bless us tonight with the Holy Spirit of adoption, that those who say, oh, may I call thee mine, may be favoured so to do. Lord, thou hast said, I will say it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Lord, thou hast promised it. And where thou hast given the desire for the fulfillment of the promise, surely that desire will be fulfilled. Help us to wait. But oh, if it would please thee, we ask thee to fulfill it tonight. Thou knowest the desires of each one of us as we've come into thy house, the condition of each one. Lord, thou knowest where guilt lies heavy on the conscience. Today's sin. Lord, oh, we pray for godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance to salvation. We pray for forgiveness. We plead that blood which did for sin atone. And though the wonders of thy name and thy finished work and thy blood are yet so little known, we know this, Jesus died for sinners' sakes. And there we would put in our plea. I'm a sinner great indeed. Oh, magnify thy grace in me. Lord, we pray, wash us throughly from our iniquity. Thou only seest us throughly, and thou only canst reach the heart, the seat of our sin. Lord, we pray thou wilt create in us clean hearts and renew a right spirit. Wash us, oh, to really know tonight the cleansing efficacy of thy precious blood. Much we talk of it, but how little's understood. Oh, we pray for faith. Oh, to see by faith the Lamb of God, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood in Gethsemane. That blood pouring from those wounds on the cross, then flowing from thy pierced side. Lord, oh, we pray, plunge us in that precious fountain. One says, and thou knowest those here this evening that feel it. They don't doubt it, that the fountain open stands. And their prayer is, on its brink I dwell, O put me in with thy own hand. And that will do me well. Lord, we pray to be cleansed from sin's guilt and from its power. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The continual propensity, Lord, to carnality, worldliness, selfishness in one way or another, unbelief, lust, pride, idolatry, foolishness, lightness. Lord, forgive us. We pray that thou wouldst give us sobriety. Lord, we would not be a sanctimonious hypocrite. But Lord, we would not either be a light, trifling professor. Lord, we pray for the sobriety of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for thy spirit. Lord, we pray for that meekness and that holiness, that lowliness. We pray for that faith, that hope, that love. We pray for that spiritual mindedness, which is life and peace. Save us from our carnal mindedness, which is death. Favour us this evening, Lord, with thy spirit, the one we have grieved so often. Lord, we pray, forgive our grieving of thee. Lord, when we have not obey thy promptings, when we've not heeded thy warnings. Lord, when we have not called upon thee. Lord, when we have not put our trust in thee, but have trusted in self or something base. Lord, when we have not fallen as a poor beggar at thy feet. Oh, how grieving all these things have been to thee. Lord, if we put anything before the Son of God, how grieving this is to thee. Blessed Spirit, surely it is grieving to thee when thy people put even him before the Son of God. Lord, the Spirit is not the Redeemer. He hath not shed that precious blood. 'Tis not his righteousness that thy people are justified by. He is not the living vine, nor the king, nor the priest, though co-equal with the Son. He speaketh not of himself. He testifieth of thee. Lord, we pray for a true, thorough religion. Heart religion. We pray to be made Christians right through. We pray, Lord, to be made closer to thee, to cleave closer to thee by thy help. Lord, we would. We can't of ourselves. Lord, we would not excuse ourselves for our helplessness. 'Tis no excuse. But we plead thy help, blessed Spirit, to cause us to cleave to Christ, thy help to believe on him, thy help, Lord, in understanding thy word, believing it, interpreting it, oh, be thou our interpreter. Lord, how we grieve thee when we do not walk in the precept. Lord, this most difficult matter, though a minister find it so difficult to preach, he finds it more difficult to walk. Oh Lord, help the minister and help the people in preaching. Perhaps the people find it difficult to hear. They do, Lord. Wandering mind, an unbelieving heart, an attempting devil. Lord, thy people certainly find how difficult it is to walk out what they hear. Lord, we remind thee again of the word we began with. Thou hast laid help on one that's mighty. Help me to preach, help the people to hear. Help me to walk and help the people to walk. And thy name shall have all the honour and all the glory. We thank thee for all thy mercies to us. Oh, how great is thy faithfulness. How unfathomable thy forbearance, thy loving kindness. Thy patience, thy long suffering. Oh, how unfathomable the gift of thy dear Son and of thy Spirit. We thank thee, Lord, for daily mercies, food and water, shelter and clothing, safe journeys, health and strength, according to thy appointed measure. Lord, the relative peace in which we live and the many mercies we are the subjects of, even at this time when we are under thy solemn judgments. We thank thee for preserving us from the virus. Pray that thou wouldst continue thy mercy, preserve us and our dear ones each from all harm. But Lord, are there not those among thy people afflicted? We know not, Lord, for thou hast the people throughout the whole world. Are there not those in this congregation and the families connected, afflicted, Lord, in various ways? Oh, sanctify our afflictions. Lord, do thou speak the word and thy people shall be healed. Thou understandest all cases. When all the help of man proves vain, then to have recourse to God and breathe a prayer in time of need, this is to find a friend indeed. Favour our people, thy people here. Lord, we have to be brought to that place. All the help of man proves vain. Lord, we have to also be brought to breathe a prayer. And thus to find thou art our friend. Oh, favour this people here to the glory of thy name. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Oh, we do ask, Lord, for the glory of thy name. Was not that thy purpose in allowing Lazarus to die, causing him to die? That in raising him from the dead, the Son of God should be glorified thereby. Oh Lord, look on dead cases. Those who have the sentence of death in themselves, bless them. To trust in God who raiseth the dead. And those who don't have the sentence of death, who are really dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, for the glory of the Son of God, raise them, we pray, the power of thy resurrection. Help thy people to walk the path as appointed. Lord, in the furnace so much dross comes to the surface first. Oh, let that be done, Lord, in such a way as we should cry out unclean and cry out, Lord, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Do thou sit as a refiner and purify of silver and take the dross away. By a sigh to thyself, Lord, suffering for those sins. Oh, the dross. Ah, that Kedron Brook. God only knows the filth of all that was cast therein. But that is drink of the brook. Therefore thou art the lifter up of the head. Lord, bless us then. Bless the deacons of this church. Help them and be with them. Bless them and make them a blessing, and each of thy sent servants that come here. Bless the members of the church and the congregation. Unite this people in Christ Jesus. Lord, we realize that one of the deacons and his dear one are approaching, subject to thy holy will, that time, the anniversary of their wedding 40 years ago. We pray for them thy blessing and thank thee for thy mercies to them over these many years. If it is thy will, spare them to each other and bless them and make their last days their best. Lord, prepare us for heaven. We read in thy word, then cometh the end. And so it will, a certainty. But Lord, not the end. For we have never dying souls. Oh, prepare us for our end. Give us grace. And then glory. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn number 386. Weary of earth, myself and sin, dear Jesus, set me free. and to thy glory take me in, for there I long to be. Burdened, dejected, and oppressed, ah, whither shall I flee but to thy arms for peace and rest, for there I long to be. Empty, polluted, dark, and vain is all this world to me. May I the better world obtain, for there I long to be. Lord, let a tempest-tossed soul that peaceful harbour see, where waves and billows never roll, for there I long to be. Let a poor labourer here below, when from his toil set free, to rest and peace eternal go, for there I long to be.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49, reading verses 14 to 17. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste should go forth of thee. The text begins with the word but. That immediately causes us to look back to what goes before. And what goes before is the statement of praise and singing. For the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. So why does Zion say the opposite? But Zion said, the Lord forsaken me and my Lord have forgotten me. Because the word of comfort and consolation and therefore joy and praise is the eternal purpose of God in his everlasting covenant. And it is a declaration of what the Lord has done for his people before and what he will do for them in the future. But Zion here speaks of her present experience. And did not the preacher say, remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many? But Zion said, Zion is the Lord's church, his elect people from all nations, love with an everlasting love, chosen in his dear son. And the language of our text is of Zion, born again of the Holy Spirit, quickened into divine life. If this is your language from your very heart, you are part of Zion. You are one of the Lord's people. You are born again of the Holy Spirit. You do, in some measure, know the Lord. For how could you say this? How could you know the difference between the Lord ministering unto you, to your soul's sustenance and salvation and comfort, at that time when it is withheld? But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Of course, the conclusion that Zion has come to in our text, as the Lord goes on to show, is completely wrong. Completely wrong. How often the Lord's people say they come to a completely wrong conclusion about matters. But you see, this is the felt conclusion that a poor, troubled sinner comes to. You'll never find a hypocrite saying what Zion says in this text. We read in the book of Job, don't we? What shall be the hope of the hypocrite when his soul is required of him? Will he always delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? There isn't Zion in our text delighting herself in the Almighty. It's because she delights in him that she is so grieved. She is so troubled when she does not see him, does not hear his voice, when he doesn't work in her, when he doesn't work for her, or not to her soul's realization, that is. He is continually working, he's continually upholding, he's continually keeping his Zion. He says, doesn't he? I, the Lord, do keep it. I watch over it day and night. But oh, how often the Lord's people feel, as is said here, the Lord hath forsaken me. The Lord hath forsaken me. Isaiah was a prophet called of God to labor, to prophesy. In a time, it was before Jeremiah, but not long before Jeremiah. A time in the history of the Church of God, and the Jews represented the Church of God for the most part in those days. And for their sins, the Lord had solemnly begun to pour out his judgments upon her. And our text, the complaint of Zion, is the gracious effect in a remnant, the Lord's remnant, a gracious effect of the chastisement the Lord had begun to pour upon her. What grievous things were done by the Lord because of the grievous sins that have been done by the Lord's people. The nations round about looked upon this people, Jerusalem, their capital city, the place where the house of the Lord was established and the king's palace. Don't we read in one place in the scripture that not to any other nation have been done such grievous things as this? But was it done because God hated Israel? No. It was done because God loved Israel. Was it done to destroy the true Israel within Israel? No. It was done to purify, to purge, to save that people. But in doing so, the Lord must deal with his people in such a way as they come to this conclusion, the Lord hath forsaken me. And I might add, my dear friends, scripturally and from my own experience, that does not the Lord make us to feel that we deserve him to forsake us? The Lord hath watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. Because of our sins, you think of Daniel. And that was at the end, almost at the end of the 70 years captivity, as he sought unto his God with weeping and sackcloth and ashes, saying, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, because we have sinned against thee. But unto our God belong mercies, though we have sinned against thee. The Lord hath forsaken me. And as I say, you'll be brought to say, it is no wonder. Oh, what treacherous behaviour mine has been. The Lord hath done such great things for me, blessed me abundantly, and I've turned to him the back and not the face. I've turned from such a good God, turned from him who had heard so many prayers, blessed me with so many things. The Lord hath forsaken me. Well, what was it that brought the Zion to this conclusion? What is it that brings the sinner to this conclusion? Well, what did the Lord do for Zion in that previous time? Did I not speak of it just now in speaking of the prayers heard? When the Lord has heard your prayers, and now he hears, so he appears to hear them no more. The Lord hath forsaken me. Oh, when he grants your gracious building up, you know he's with you. You know he's blessing you. But when he pulls down, then we come to the conclusion, the Lord has forsaken me. Oh, when his presence is felt and known. You think of those times in the history of Israel as a nation when the blessing of the Lord was poured upon them. Oh, when David was anointed king, when Solomon was anointed king, in those times of gracious revival, times of blessed Holy Spirit worship at Jerusalem, I'm thinking of the day of Hezekiah, when under the influence of the blessed Spirit, he at least partially cleansed the land of all those false practices, idolatry and so on. And he caused, under the Lord's merciful power, the Passover to be observed at Jerusalem as it had not been for years. What a day of rejoicing that was. But then you see, the day came when that Jerusalem which had rung with shouts of praise and joy and heard the singing of the men and the women and the children is in ruins. Is there one here this evening? And firstly, as you look upon your own soul, you say, you come to the conclusion, the Lord has forsaken me. I was lively, but now I feel completely dead. The Lord has forsaken me. Oh, how I delighted in prayer, but now prayer seems to be such a burden and such a task. Oh, how I walked in gospel liberty, but now I'm in bonds and fetters. Oh, how my sins were washed away, how my, the power of my sin was overcome, but I seem to be a worse sinner than ever this evening. The Lord forsaken me. And my Lord. Remarkable really, isn't it? The Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. It seems as though as Zion is pouring out this complaint, the Holy Spirit, who truly is causing her to pour out this complaint, as she makes it, he causes her to speak in this language. My Lord. My Lord. Isn't something like this working in the soul of this person? I have gone after other lords, but I find how vain, how miserable, how unsatisfactory, how infinitely inferior. Is there one here tonight? And you've been a backslider for a good many days, weeks, months, perhaps years. And you've gone after this Lord and that Lord. The Lord's self. The Lord your business. The Lord your pastimes. Whatever it is. You've worshipped another other than the Lord. And the Lord is showing to you he is your Lord. As he says in the prophecy of Isaiah, I will go after her so that she does not find those lovers that she goes after. I will hedge up her way with thorns. She shall not find her path. In her affliction, she shall seek me early. And my dear friend, the language of our text is of a person seeking the Lord. The first thing that the Lord convinces a person of to cause them to seek after him is that they don't have him. Do you remember a time in your life, my dear friend, when the Lord brought you to the point where you felt you needed the Lord and you didn't have him? You had never had him until that time because you had never felt your need of him. But he, in love and in mercy to your soul, quickened you by his Spirit and brought you into such trouble you needed him. And though you couldn't say at that time, the Lord have forsaken me and my Lord have forgotten me, you said it in the anguish of the Lord is not my Lord. God is not my God. He is not my Redeemer. He is not my Saviour. But oh, I want him. I want him as my Saviour. I want him as my God. I need him. My dear friend, you never say, I want the Lord, from your very heart until you really need him. And the thing above all else that you and I need the Lord in is our sinfulness. And we cannot be cleansed of our sinfulness just by knowing about the Lord. We cannot be cleansed of our sinfulness by knowing the Lord has comforted Zion. And he has made this covenant with Zion. And he has sent his son for his Zion. And his son suffered, bled, and died on the cross. We cannot be comforted merely by knowing those precious truths. We must have him as our own possession. We must see him as he himself alone can reveal himself to us. We must hear his voice. We must feel his influence. He alone can work salvation. He alone is the Saviour. My Lord hath forgotten me. She says this, I believe, in the sense, my Lord, there's no other Lord will do for me but this one. The spouse, she speaks like that, doesn't she? When she, in the Song of Solomon, is searching the streets and the lanes of the city that she might find her Lord. And those that found her said, what is thy beloved more than another that thou dost so charge us? For she had said, tell him if you find him that I am sick of love. Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? She said, my beloved, my Lord, is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. And my Lord hath forgotten me. He hath forgotten me. What makes this person think the Lord has forgotten them? My dear friend, when you've prayed and prayed and prayed and no answer comes, you're not prone to come to the conclusion the Lord has forgotten me. We don't actually read it as being the lament of Abraham and Sarah. But was not really that path they were treading, and was it not that that led them to make that fall that they made? For the promise had been given. You see, is there one here tonight and a promise was given you? And it seems as though the Lord has forgotten that promise. He's forgotten you. He told you he would do something for you. He told you he would bless you in a particular way. He told you he would be with you. You say, my Lord has forgotten me. I don't feel he is with me. And he hasn't fulfilled his promise. It doesn't mean he's forgotten you. But I want to bring the positive out of this, because that's important. My dear friend, in the negatives, that is, in the sorrows and the griefs and the wrong conclusions and the confessions and the laments of the Lord's people, we find the work of the Holy Spirit, which differentiates them from the dead professor and the hypocrite. They never had a word from the Lord. So how would they know whether the Lord was remembering them or not? They never really had a real want of the Lord. So how would they know whether he was with them or not? And how would they be troubled about whether he was with them or not? I think of another word in this same prophecy that is very relevant to the one before us now. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, who walketh in darkness and hath no light? That's a child of God. Fears the Lord. Obeys the voice of his servant. That's Christ. Christ said, pray without ceasing. And the poor sinner says, yes. Oh, my prayers, night and day. But I walk in darkness. But then what is the other character that the Lord refers to then? All ye. Not a singular case, but a plural case. All ye who walk in sparks of your own kindling. The poor child of God, he's got no sparks of his own kindling. If the Lord doesn't quicken his soul, he can't quicken it himself. If the Lord doesn't give him faith, he can't produce it himself. If the Lord doesn't create a desire in him, he can't make one up. If the Lord doesn't help him to pray, he can't pray. If the Lord doesn't give him love, he can't love. Oh, if the Lord doesn't give him a hope, he can't hope. This she have of mine hand, says the Lord, to the one that walks in sparks of their own kindling. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. But what is the word to that one walking in darkness and having no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. He hath forgotten me. That Lord did everything for me. Oh, how I miss him, says this sinner. How I miss him. I'm finding out now what he said in John 15. Without me, he can do nothing. Real religion, more than notion, something must be known and felt. Well, though the low Zion came to a completely wrong conclusion, the Lord evidently sees that in it, that is in the heart of Zion, in the heart of this sorrowful one. He sees that in it, which is his own work. Because he gives this one an answer. And it's an answer of peace. It's not an answer of wrath. He doesn't immediately take up with this one who's come to a wrong conclusion and say to them, oh, what a wicked person you are. How could I forget you? How could I forsake you? No. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul, who was blessed with a good measure of Christ. Of course, It was only a very small measure comparatively, but if we speak of it with regard to the measure of grace and of Christ that the Lord does give the church, Paul had an abundant measure. And because of that, he speaks to one of those churches he wrote to and speaks of being among them as a nurse, nursing them. What nursing the Lord's people need. You see, what did the Lord see in this heart that speaks like this? He saw grief. He saw sadness. He saw sorrow. But he nurses that one. You think of that parable of that poor man going down. Physically and spiritually went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves who wounded him and left him half dead in the ditch. And a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and went to him and poured in the oil and the wine and bound up his wounds and put him on his own beast and took him to an inn and said, "Take care of him. Whatsoever it costs, I will pay." Now here, that one who is set forth in that parable as a good Samaritan, he comes and does the same thing as is set forth in that parable. He alone can come. He alone can come into the place. He alone can comfort. She says, "My Lord." Jesus in John 10, he says, doesn't he? "A stranger will they not follow, for they know not the voice of strangers." This is what's in the heart of this child of God, feelingly forsaken and forgotten. It's not any Lord that would do. It's not any supposed comforter that would do. No human arm can reach my case. Only his arm whose name is truth and grace. Oh, thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. That's the one to whom the Lord says, "Behold, I will lay thy foundations with sapphires. The windows of our gates, the gates of carbon. When all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." And here is the comfort. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Zion is God's sucking child. Doesn't it matter how old you are, my dear friend, child of God? You're God's sucking child. That word of the Lord which speaks of how the Lord comforts his people, does it only apply to the lambs in the fold? Well, I don't read it like that because it isn't there. He says, "As one whom his mother comforted, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem," saith the Lord. And how does a mother comfort her child? When that child is hungry, what will comfort her? Will a toy, a rattle, No. She puts that child to her breast. And that comforts. We fathers have been painfully shown our limitations, haven't we? And we've tried all we could and we couldn't. Perhaps mother wasn't there. I remember times with my own young children. My wife was out at the week evening service. And the child evidently was going to be satisfied with no one but his or her mother. Can a woman forget her sucking child? My Lord, newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. That's what a sucking child is. Desiring the sincere milk of the word. Sometimes a baby is fed from a bottle. Would it satisfy that baby? Would it stop that baby crying if I hold the bottle of milk in front of it? No. Nor will the word of the Lord, the gospel preached, the word read, nor will it content your soul if you're a living child of God. Just by seeing it, just by reading it, you want to suck from the Lord himself. You want him to give of himself. That wonderful provision. A drop. My soul's bellyful with the precious words of the Lord from his own mouth. The sucking child. Getting it, getting the word, getting the doctrine, getting the truth, getting the comfort, getting the consolation, getting the revelation of Christ direct from the Lord himself. Can you look back, my dear friend, to a time in your life when you were like a babe, crying? You were cast out into the open field, not salted at all, nor swallowed at all, polluted in your own blood. And you cried. You cried for mercy, you cried for pardon, you cried for salvation. And the Lord spoke to you. Weren't you like a sucking child then? Wasn't it exactly what you wanted? Oh, it was. You wanted him to say, I am thy God. You wanted a full and a free salvation preached into your heart. Can a woman forget her sucking child? What he means is, though I have not permitted you to suck the breasts of consolation for a time, I haven't forgotten you. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Another thing about the sucking child is the complete dependence. What a helpless thing is a sucking child. Can that sucking child feed herself, cleanse herself, find her own way, conduct herself? No, particularly in those very early days, completely helpless. Has to be carried everywhere. Has to have everything done for it. What a picture of a child of God. And not just when they're a young child of God. The child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion? Now look at that word, compassion. That's the very word the Saviour used in that parable I just spoke of the Samaritan. Looked upon him and had compassion on him. Compassion. Looking upon the need, hearing, oh my dear friend, the Lord, in that infinite way, because he is the infinite God, his love is infinite, his compassion is infinite. As he hears the cry of the child, oh, how his heart moves with compassion toward them. She shall not have compassion on the son of her womb. On the son of her womb. The Lord's people are the sons and daughters of his womb. The chapter begins with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of his own birth. And you know, when the Saviour was born, all his people were born in him and with him. If he had not been born, no one would be born again. If he had not been born, taken the whole humanity of man without sin, not by ordinary generation, but by the operation of the Holy Spirit, there wouldn't be a quickened soul in the world. There wouldn't be any redeemed soul and body of men in heaven. Forever and ever. Do you not have compassion on the son of her womb? You see, all the Lord's people are sons of God in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, for as he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name, that is the name of the Father, unto my brethren in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. The son of her womb, yea, they may forget. Now the Lord had put forward something that is perhaps, and indeed it is, through the mercy of God, through the work of our Creator, though it is corrupted by sin, yet still in the earth, still we see it, the Lord in his covenant faithfulness, though we see exceptions to it, for the most part, the mother cannot forget the son of her womb, but she may. Why? Because she's a sinner. Because she is fallen in Adam. She is just a creature. She is beset with infirmities. Oh, we think of those poor mothers, mentally afflicted. Oh, they wouldn't treat their children with they wouldn't forget their children if they could help it. Afflicted, part of the curse that sin has brought in, but God is not afflicted. God is not touched by sin. He is unchangeably faithful. His love is everlasting. They may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Now, what comfort. to a sinner that has come to the conclusion that he has. My dear friend, this is what we need. This is what we need. Beware, my dear friend, of a religion, and the gospel is preached to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, his one atoning sacrifice, the only way to salvation, to heaven, the only way of salvation, no other way. But there's no ministry from him. Beware of that ministry that implies, that depends on the sinner, their belief in him. My dear friend, it is faith which saves. But what makes a sinner believe? The Lord speaking to them. That's what makes them believe. The sinner must repent. Without repentance, there's no forgiveness. But how does he repent? The Lord gives him repentance. Him has God exalted with his right hand to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And you see, it's this truth that leads the sinner in this path our text is setting forth. The Lord will not let them go on without fresh communication from him, without fresh ministry from him, without fresh answers to prayer from him, without fresh applications of his precious blood. Yet will I not forget thee. It's the perfect answer to the thing that was troubling the person. And that's what the Lord does. He has a perfect answer for everything that troubles the heart of his people. He has a perfect supply for every need they feel. But we only have that answer. We only have that supply as he gives it. To the full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. I don't know why, but it's just come to me like this. It's going back in my text, really. But perhaps there's one here tonight, and the thing that makes you feel the Lord has forsaken you, forgotten you, is you know you're not walking as you once walked. And the Lord is making you know why. You've grown careless. And perhaps you've tried to correct yourself and the Lord has taught you no. You need me. You need me. Behold, look. Did you ever hear the Lord say to you, look? Or as the word of our text puts it, behold, the same meaning. The look of the Lord, that is his word to us, look. Look at what? Look to me. And look at what I am going to say to you. Look at this that I say to you. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. When the Lord says, behold, in the comfort and the salvation of his people, it is always I. The I am that I am. I, Almighty God, eternal God, unchanging God, I whose work would never be overthrown, I whose work would never be undone, I, you haven't done it, nor has anyone else. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. The word graven, it signifies permanence. Of course, nothing graven on this earth is permanent. But the place where this is graven is on the hands of the Son of God himself. Still in heaven, and forever and ever, his people will be graven on the palms of his hands. Time won't erase that engraving. Eternity won't erase that engraving. The hands that were nailed to that cross and lay lifelessly in that tomb are now in heaven. And his people are graven on those hands. The Lord here is telling each individual member of Zion, the one he says this to, your name, you yourself, are graven on my hands. The breastplate of the high priest, the Levitical dispensation, had the names of the tribes of Israel on his breastplate. The Lord's people's names are on his heart. But in the case of Christ, they're not only on his heart, they're on his hands. And of course, this speaks of his sufferings for his people. The wicked men that took those nails and drove them through the hands of the Saviour were doing the will of God. Woe unto that man who doeth it. But it was the will of God. Because those people who the Father had given Christ were on his heart. He loved them. He loved them so much that he had stooped to come down to this earth for them. And now he loves them so much that he is dying for them. And the nails driven through his hands, testimony of it. It's because you were graven on his hands, my dear friend, those nails must go through those hands. You in all your sinfulness, you in all your fickleness, you in all your ungodliness, you in all your native depravity, graven on the palms of his hands, never to be erased. I've graven thee. I'm crucified for thee. I die for thee. I shed my blood for thee. I make atonement for thee. Behold this. What an answer to the poor sinner's wrong conclusion that the Lord has forgotten and forsaken them. Graven thee on the palms of my hand. But there's another side of this. It's not just your name that is graven on the palms of his hands. He says, I've graven you. I've graven you. And that means, I must be brief, but it means, thou shalt be crucified with me. Thou art being crucified with me. Last time I was with you, we read Psalm 22, didn't we? And that psalm begins with the Saviour's words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And now you poor sinner who is walking the same path, the Lord has forsaken me. And the Lord is explaining why you feel that. Because you're graven on the palms of his hands. You could only be saved by being crucified with him. You could only be saved, therefore, by walking this path of sorrow. Walking this path of being feelingly forsaken by the Lord. And through walking that path, I shall save you, saith the Lord. As you're engraven on his hands, everything comes to you, child of God, through the cross. You are fixed to the cross with the Saviour himself. I am crucified with Christ. Christ died for the ungodly. When you feel yourself so ungodly, you don't wonder that you feel the Lord has forsaken you, do you? But how that experience of feeling so ungodly, it brings you into union with him. Not the righteous, sinners Jesus came to call. Not those who can repent of themselves, but those who must have the repentance that flows freely in Calvary's blood. Not those who can believe themselves, but those who believe because Jesus is the author and finisher of their faith. Not those who can love of themselves, but those who love because Christ first loved them and the Holy Spirit sheds it abroad in their heart. Not those who can be very fruitful, but the poor Hannahs. The Lord shuts up their womb. Does your barrenness lead you to conclude the Lord has forsaken me? My dear friend, are you not walking the path that Hannah walked? The Lord had shut up her womb. Are you not walking the path that the Moabitess damsel, Ruth, walked? We don't read of Ruth having any children by her first husband. That's because the Lord's people don't have any children under the law. When the law is their husband, they can't bear children. But Ruth was taken by Boaz. He became her husband. The near kinsman. But then she bore children. And Hannah, in answer to the entreaty that the Lord, the Spirit, put in her heart, and the Lord remembered her. Don't you think Hannah concluded the Lord has forgotten me? But how the Lord showed her. And the Lord remembered her. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me the petition that I asked of him. Thy walls are continually before me. Zion's walls. Zion's walls are made up of stones. Thy walls. Peter speaks, doesn't he? Of the one foundation, Christ, the living stone, and his people, lively stones. The poor sinner, perhaps here tonight, you come to the conclusion, I'm not one of those stones. Oh, what unlikely people the Lord makes stones in Zion. Who would have thought the Saul of Tarsus was going to be a stone in Zion's wall? Go a step further. See the suffering Son of God. See how his people, the Jews, think of him. They despise him and reject him. But he is made the chief cornerstone. There's a story among the Jews, you know. When Solomon's temple was in the building, the builders were looking for the cornerstone. They couldn't find it. They looked at a stone and said, no, that won't do. They went round all the other stones and none of them would do. Then someone said, let us look at that one again. And that was the stone, the one they'd rejected. Now often that is, as it was with Christ, so it is with the child of God. I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Just as Christ was considered to be the most unlikely one to be the cornerstone, so, my dear friend, it isn't the ones that think, oh, I'll be a child of God. But the ones who, like Ruth, say, why hast thou taken notice of me, seeing I'm not like unto one of thine handmaidens? Thy walls are continually before me. I haven't time to go into it now, but just mention it for your meditation. I've spoken this evening of an individual in this text. But are there not times when a church, when a group of churches come to this conclusion and they greatly fear that it's all going to come to nothing? A pastor with a church and a congregation, deacons, and everything seems to be coming to nothing. But the Lord says, Zion's walls are ever before me. I thought of that solemn man, Uzzah. When they put the Ark of the Covenant on a new cart, and those oxen were pulling it, and it seemed as though the Ark was going to fall off the cart. And Uzzah put his hand forth to steady the Ark. And immediately he was struck with leprosy. He presumed to put his hand forth to steady the ark. No one but the priests were allowed to handle that ark, and that's by those staves that were through those corners, those rings on the corner of the ark. Zion's walls, they're ever before the Lord. His church will not be overthrown. His church will not come to nothing. He will protect it. He will preserve it. He will build it up. Thy children shall make haste. Zion's children. One of the things that makes a pastor and the exercised people of God to feel that the Lord has forsaken them and forgotten them. Where are the children? Where are the children? Have we not read, my dear friend, have we not been told of what the Lord did in days past? How very rare it is in the day in which we live to see someone brought in from outside. Is that not a searching thing? It is to me. And how few are manifestly born again of the Holy Spirit. How few are brought into gospel liberty. I know you have been favoured here from time to time. In recent years, may the Lord continue it. But are there not those that some have watched for? The children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. You see, God is the midwife of his people. I speak reverently. He is the one that brings forth the children. The pastors, ministers, godly men and women, the Lord exercises them, they travail in prayer, but it is the Lord's work. And the Lord here says, thy children shall make haste. Where shall they make haste? To Christ. Where do we find people running to Christ today? There aren't many people running to Christ, are there? Thy children shall make haste. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And you see, when the Lord causes a sinner to run to Christ, urgency. And oh, my dear friend, you can't run to Christ until Christ is set before you. If you run without Christ set before you, where are you going? You know not the way to the city, but when the Lord is lifted up, when the way to the refuge city is clearly marked up by the Holy Ghost, and the inclination is put in the sinner's heart, and the pressing burden is a manslayer, you won't find innocent people running on that road that goes to the refuge city, will you? No. Very comfortable where they are, thank you. But all that manslayer, what's he running for? His life. According to the law, except he's in that refuge city, the near kinsman of the slain man, the manslaughtered man, can take his life. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That man knows if I don't get to the refuge city, I'm a dead man. Thy children shall make haste. And then in coming to Christ and finding Christ and obtaining the blessing of forgiveness, then they make haste in the way of his commandments. Then they say, hinder me not, my much loved friends, for I must go with you. I think of Abraham's servant. When the Lord had so prospered his way in identifying that young woman to be Isaac's wife, naturally speaking, Rebekah's family, they feel it. They want to hang on to Rebekah as long as they possibly can. And they wanted to. But Abraham's servant said to them, hinder me not. Hinder me not. On what ground? Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. In Zion then there are destroyers and those that made the people waste. In Isaiah's days, what false prophets there were. There is in every generation. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste. the Lord delivering his people from every destroyer, the destroyer of the devil, the destroyer of those lusts that we have. They make us waste, don't they? Sin has laid my vineyard waste, says the hymn writer. But the Lord says they'll all go. I blot out thy sins and put within thee a new heart and a new spirit. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. And remember what the Lord said to the Israelites as they stood on the shores of the Red Sea. The Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more forever. Well, the fullness of it is heaven, isn't it? Brought Zion, every one of this Zion, brought to that place where there be no destroyer, no making waste. Just Zion and her husband. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock, and Mr. Jabez Rutt is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 238. With melting heart and weeping eyes, my guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do, or whither flee, to escape the vengeance due to me? Till late I saw no danger nigh. I lived at ease, nor feared to die. Wrapped up in self-conceit and pride, I shall have peace at last, I cried. But when, great God, thy light divine had shone on this dark soul of mine, then I beheld with trembling awe the terrors of thy holy law. How dreadful now my guilt appears in childhood, youth, and growing years. Before thy pure discerning eye, Lord, what a filthy wretch am I. Should vengeance still my soul pursue, death and destruction are my due. Yet mercy can my guilt forgive, and bid a dying sinner live. Does not thy sacred word proclaim salvation free, in Jesus' name? To him I look and humbly cry, O save a wretch condemned to die.
O Lord, we thank thee for the truth. Bless us each with a saving knowledge of it. Fulfill, Lord, that which we have considered a little of. Open up to us what we see not. Favour us to experience what we know not. Lord, have mercy. Pardon all amiss. Keep us safe, we pray. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.